The holidays are expensive. You're paying for gifts, travel, decorations, food, and before you know it, you've blown way past what you were planning to spend. Don't start the new year off with bad money vibes. Download Rocket Money to stay on top of your finances. The app pulls your income, expenses, and upcoming charges into one place so you can get the clearest picture of your money. It shows how much to set aside for bills and how much is safe to spend for the month so you can spend with confidence. No guesswork needed. Get alerts before bills hit, track budgets, and see every subscription you're paying for. Rocket Money also finds extra ways to save you money by canceling subscriptions you're not using and negotiating lower bills for you. On average, Rocket Money users can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Start the year off right by taking control of your finances. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's Paul Gallant. Join the conversation by dialing or texting 713-780-3776.
That's great in for Paul Gallant. Paul Gallant Show, ESPN 975-925. 713-780-3776. 713-780-ESPN. HRMP listener line, because this is the most interactive show in Houston. We will maintain that moniker, and we will be interactive. We will get to your phone calls. My buddy Sean Mapes on the other side of the glass, the master controls, at Sean A. Mapes on the Tweetile, on the Twitch stream, twitch.tv/ESPN975. ESPN975.com, ESPN975 app. Yeah, you find us everywhere. You tell Google, tell Alexa, play ESPN975. Guess what? Oh, yeah, look, take us everywhere you want to go, and you will enjoy it. And because this is the most interactive show, and we will do Paul proud as we work and he frolics in the sun somewhere drinking Mai Tais. Gary in Houston, you are on the Paul Gallant Show. What's up, Gary?
Hey, how you doing today, brother?
Doing all right, man. What's going on?
All right. Just wanted to chime in on the commish making these comments. What about the fan safety, you know, with all this going on? You know what I mean? Insinuating, you know, we should have done this, rolling people up. We already know we had a bad taste in our mouth in a lot of cities. You know, how does the fan base react about this?
Well, clearly none of this was thought of. Because if we go back to, you know, 2021, when fans were allowed back in the stands, and national media and local medias had a year to rile up fan bases and continue to throw out false narratives around the Astros. And, you know, we got Beltran's niece and John Boy promoting Beltran's niece on the Michael Kay Show on ESPN New York. John Boy became a star because of the Astros cheating scandal. He was on Michael Kay's show in New York, who not only is the afternoon drive host, but also the TV voice of the Yankees, and on the damn show three times a week. And, yeah, nobody cares about whether or not Astros fans are going to get attacked or have things thrown at them, or their buses, the Astros bus gets things thrown at them, or people's cars get vandalized. No, they don't care about any of that. If they did, they'd have made the Dodgers put down a hell of a lot more security 10 years ago. They don't care about fan violence. It's not a big deal to them. So, yeah, if you're an Astros fan and you're on the road somewhere, you now have a renewed target on your back. That's Gary, sharp observation there. Admittedly, I work every day. I don't get to go travel the country like Paul and go to other stadiums and go watch games in other stadiums anymore. I did when I was younger. So, I mean, once upon a time I was Paul's age, but I am not anymore. In fact, I am now so old that in certain countries they would put me out to pasture. I actually maybe the same age as Sean's father.
Maybe. How old are you?
I turned 50 on Sunday.
Oh, no, my dad's older.
Oh, he is?
Yeah, my dad's actually by a few years, yeah.
I am not the old, yes! I think I am the third oldest person here. It's Granado, Joel, me. I think Lance is still in his 40s.
Yeah, and we, on Wednesday, I want to say, I don't know. No, t- Tuesday, we had a discussion on the Killer Bees about how old Joel is exactly, and none of us are actually very clear on it. Joel's done a great job of shrouding mystery around his age.
Well, you know, Joel keeps himself in good shape.
Yeah, that too. You know, that's also hard to tell. Yeah.
You know, I mean, I'm not going to say how old Hollywood Nate Griffin is, but he's a lot older than me. He was playing college football when I was wearing diapers. but he looks like he's 30.
That's the benefit of being Hollywood.
You know? It's like, it looks like he's 30.
That's why he's on TV.
You know, that's why I get to be on TV with Nate like once every week, once every other week. And Nate's on every day. For 5 hours a
camera
day.
Camera loves him.
Everybody loves looking at Nate. Man, but look, like I said, if you're an Astros fan, you've got beef. Because this was just straight up horse bleep. There is no benefit to Major League Baseball in doing this. And I did think it was interesting that Evan brought up, well, his contract is up for renewal. And if there are owners who are ticked off that Astros players didn't get punished, well, he just gave them a little virtue signal of, well, you know what, next time, you know, I was wrong. I should have punished them. I shouldn't have taken that away. Now he's gaining favor with the owners who, well, you know, you should have done this. Also, I hope that Jim Crane not only votes no, but I hope he votes no with a giant F in front of it. Major League Baseball needs to get back to having a commissioner who is actually independent, who doesn't work for the owners, but rules the owners. You know, nobody looked at Kennesaw Mountain Landis and said, hey, we're the owners, you work for us. He told them what to do. And that was really the commissioner's power. Right up until Bud Selig and Jerry Reinsdorf cut the throat of Faye Vincent. That is when the commissioner's office ceased being an independent entity and became essentially an employee of the owners. Of course, it was a huge scandal that created the need for an independent commissioner. And now we're saying, oh, huge scandal. It's not the huge scandal being the Astros. The huge scandal being, once again, baseball not giving a damn about anything until either the government or the media put it out there on them. You know, Bud Selig didn't care about steroids. They turned a blind eye to steroids. Hey, chicks dig the long ball. It wasn't until Congress was going to take away their antitrust exemption, if they didn't have a real steroid policy, did they get one. You guys might remember the first person to be suspended at the major league level for steroids was a 5'9", 160-pound center fielder named Alex Sanchez. He got 10 games. That's it. Because even when they put a plan in, it was a joke. Nobody cared. I mean, hell, I learned about Andro because Mark McGwire was doing interviews with a tub of it in his locker. You could buy it at GNC for $40 a tub. And I don't mean a little tub. I mean a big-ass tub. You know, baseball didn't have any rule. They didn't have, oh, you can't do this, you can't do that. There was no steroid policy until 2003. And even that was a BS policy because at the time there was no way to enforce it.
And that's what gets me the most about Bud Selig being inducted into the Hall of Fame.
Barry Bonds and Mark McGwire and Sammy Sosa, those guys are pariahs, and friggin' Bud Selig's in the Hall of Fame.
Yes, because it just like logically, if you follow the steroid era was a blight on baseball, not true, but that's the narrative that baseball is going with. If it's such a blight, then why is the commissioner who allowed it to happen for over a decade? Without, like you said, without introducing steroid testing, why is he in the Hall of Fame? What did he do that was so good to overcome being the commissioner over, again, such a dark time
because
for baseball?
Because the part they want to blow over is that steroid era,
it's great,
was the richest era of baseball.
Great. It was great.
When you equate it to dollars at that time, money at that time. fans flocked back to the game in droves. ESPN's doing break-ins on every McGuire and Sosa at bat. The 98 home run chase, literally, it didn't just save baseball. It exploded baseball. It made baseball more than just, oh, yeah, there's baseball. Baseball didn't just go become relevant. It became popular again. It was cool to like baseball. And they went through the whole, oh, we gotta go after everybody doing steroids. Look, the team gave Gary Matthews Jr. buku bucks because 1 year he hit 30 home runs juiced up.
My favorite is Grady Anderson.
Yeah, Brady Anderson. 1 year hits 50 home runs.
I think the rest of his career doesn't combine to 50.
Never hit 30 home runs in any other season.
Yeah.
I don't even know if he hit 28 in any other season.
No, he was like a low to mid-20s guy.
And sudden spike in home runs. You know, you had one person to ever hit 60 home runs. Now all of a sudden you got two guys doing it in the same season. Everybody knew what was going on. Everybody in baseball knew what was going on. They didn't care because the stadium was full, TV ratings were high, and money was flowing. So what if the players took performance-enhancing drugs? The product is better. More home runs. Fans love homers.
And same thing happening now. With the sign-stealing stuff. The spike in the home run rate because of the ball, all the mystery behind
the balls are juiced.
What ball they're using.
Then you got the change in the ball mid-season. So, yeah, these balls were juiced, but these ones are dead. But then we got these Goldilocks balls that really kind of only show up wherever Aaron Judge is.
Yeah.
I mean, it's pretty miraculous that half the Goldilocks balls are at Yankee Stadium. Wow. I mean,
it's just so close to the league office. That's why.
It's almost like that couldn't happen unless it was planned. It's just so wild.
Such a coincidence.
Who could imagine? Yeah, this was the bleep. And now, you know, you've got Rob Manfred, who for years knew about it. Tom Verducci was writing stories back in 2015 with an unnamed general manager of a poor team, who was lamenting the fact every other team has high-speed cameras where they're not supposed to be. Every other team has high-speed cameras on the pitcher's mound, on the catcher's box, on the third base coach's box, on the visiting dugout. Everybody's using these cameras to steal signs, and my cheap-ass owner won't give me the money to do the same thing. That's the whole crux of this article. And if that's an SI, are you telling me Rob Manfred didn't know when it's an SI? You know, you just had Evan Drug just told us that monitored meeting, Tom Verducci was the guy who, you know, like hosted the meeting. Well, he's the guy who wrote the piece. How does all this just conveniently keep getting forgotten? Oh, but I can remember, yeah, you know, I probably should have punished him more, not taking that off the table. Yeah, bad job by me. Everything you've done, Rob, has been a bad job by you. Coming up next, we get back into your Houston Rockets, the draft. What might they be doing next? We'll talk with our buddy Salman Ali from Red Nation Hoops. He joins us next.
Back to the Paul Gallant Show, coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
All right, joining us right now on the HRMP guest line, he is the founder of Red Nation Hoops, covering the Houston Rockets. He's our buddy Salman Ali. What's going on, Salman? How are you?
How you doing, Patrick?
So, fairly exciting night last night. You feel good about this?
Yeah, I think the Rockets did okay.
You know, this is three drafts in a row here that we come out of the draft thinking, hey, you know, the Rockets did pretty good. I feel like the bigger issue has been they haven't had the right people in place, the coaching level, but feel pretty good about Ime Udoka as the new head coach. And let's start off your thoughts on Amen Thompson.
Yeah, Amon Thompson is the absolute right bet for Houston to take, right? Like, he has probably the second best upside in this draft. There are some in the Rockets organization that had him second on their board. I'm not sure if I'd be willing to go that far, but, I mean, I certainly thought that after Scoot Henderson, Amon Thompson, to me, was the guy to go and get. Like, he just, as a playmaker, he's special, man. Like, he really, out of everyone in this draft, he has this natural, like, instinctual ability to find open teammates. He's probably the best athlete in this draft outside of Victor Wembanyama. And going into the NBA, he's probably going to be one of the best athletes in the NBA right away. And his finishing level at the rim, combine all of that together, and you have a fantastic prospect that's worth betting on at number four, and seemingly seems like a good fit next to Jalen Green, because, you know, what does Jalen Green lack as a player? You know, defensive upside and really playmaking chops. And you're getting that right away with Amon Thompson.
I think it's a big deal. You're going to have a guy who can fill buckets but is weak defensively. That your other guard is a guy who not only is strong defensively, but can defend, you know, how many different positions. And, you know, at 6'7", I think there's a ton of upside. Like I said,
7-foot wingspan, by the way. 6'7" with a 7-foot wingspan.
I am a believer that you can teach somebody how to shoot. You know, we've seen guys learn. If Lonzo Ball could learn how to shoot, you can teach a guy how to shoot.
It is worth noting that Lonzo was a lot younger coming into the NBA than what Amon is. Amon's 20 years old, so he's kind of up there. And it is Lonzo's shot was not as far gone as what Amon's coming into the league with. So it's gonna be difficult. This is the reason why it's a swing, right? Like, there's a lot of risk here, but it's still a risk worth taking. Like, you're gonna have to work on this, right? The Rockets went out and hired Ben Sullivan, a really talented shooting coach from the Celtics, and they're going to work on it with John Lucas, Ben Sullivan, Amon Thompson. They're all going to have to put in some hard hours in the gym here to find a counter, because teams are going to wall off the paint, right? Because this is a guy who's adept at getting to the paint, and when teams wall it off, he has to find a counter, whether that's a floater or a mid-range jumper, something. He has to work on that. So it's going to take some time, and it's probably not going to be a finished product even next year, but this is the whole point of a rebuild. It takes time, and the Rockets have $65 million in cap space to possibly fill the point guard position in the meantime while Amon's developing.
Now, they also come in with Cam Whitmore at 20. That's a guy who a lot of people thought was a top eight talent. A lot of people thought would go in the top eight of the draft. He slides all the way down to 20. What kind of player do you think he becomes, and how concerned should Rockets fans be regarding the fact that he slid so far?
Listen, even if we find out that he has no cartilage in both of his knees and requires back surgery tomorrow, this was an A-plus selection. Like, you're talking about a guy that 3 days ago I was discussing on my podcast as a possible fourth overall selection. Like, this is a guy they got at 20. Like, I'll go ahead and list the guys that were selected at 20. Malachi Branham, Jalen Johnson, Precious Achiuwa, Matisse Thybulle, Josh Okogie, Harry Giles, Caris LeVert, Dellen Wright, Bruno Caboclo, Tony Snell. Like, some of those guys are good players. There's a lot of busts there, and if you're in that range of the draft, why not swing for this kind of a talent? It's a no-brainer. At 8 p.m. of the draft, which is like around the 11th overall pick, I went back and looked. I was tweeting that the Rockets should go ahead and trade up to go take Cam Whitmore, because there was a lot of talk about them trading out of the draft. So I was like, okay, if you're going to trade the pick, why not trade up for this pick? They took him at 9:15. They took him an hour and 15 minutes later after that tweet for nothing. They gave up nothing of value. They just took the pick. He just fell in their lap. And I this is a guy, analytics projection darling. Like, he was someone that finished really, really well at the rim, became a good three-point shooter over the last 2 years, power athlete, kind of built like a brick house at 18 years old. I mean, sure, he doesn't really, he's not the best passer, but I mean, this is like, again, this is a 20th overall pick. Like, this is a guy, even with all his faults, was being considered as a top five overall pick just a day before the draft, seemingly fell on draft night.
Talking with Simon Ali at Red Nation Hoops. This is on the HRMP guest line. Simon, are you surprised the Rockets didn't make any trade of any kind?
No, no. I think if they were going to make a trade, it was at that 20 selection. And if someone like Cameron Ward is going to fall on your lap, you have no urgency to make a trade, right? Like, yeah, like, are you high-strung for roster spots right now? A little bit. Yeah, you are. But if you're going to get Cam Whitmore, maybe find the roster spots elsewhere. Maybe make a trade later on in the offseason, because they're going to have to clear some roster spots up, especially if they go big game hunting and free agency, as it appears that they're going to be. You're going to have to make some cuts. You're going to have to make some trades. But, I mean, I'd rather do that with some of the other guys on the roster versus Cam Whitmore.
All right, well, you just kind of led into my next question, which was, you know, if they didn't make a trade on draft night, and they do have $60-plus million here in cap space, and it does seem the Rockets are intent on, hey, we want to accelerate this rebuild. We kind of want to make a big splash here. And, you know, if you've got enough free agent money to make one, like, max contract and then a pretty good player, or you got a guy in free agency and you acquire a younger player via trade, do you think there are guys on the Rockets' radar, legitimate opportunities for them to make a trade for an impact player? Do you think Jaylen Brown is actually available? You know, there was talk that Zion Williamson might get traded during the draft. Bill Simmons said he was getting traded on Thursday. Well, we'll see how that worked out. Is he legitimately available? Is Brandon Ingram legitimately available? Is Mikal Bridges available? Like, are there players that you see out there the Rockets could be swinging for a big deal on?
I would consider Bridges available. Jaylen Brown's a guy I don't think the Celtics are willing to move, especially since they just made a pretty big swing for Kristaps Porzingis right now. It seems like they're probably going to stand pat. Maybe make a couple of trades on the margins, because they did get two first-round picks in that Porzingis trade, so they may make another addition here, but I think they're probably going to keep Jaylen Brown going into the season. But I would keep an eye on a guy like Mikal Bridges, certainly. That's a guy that may be available for trade. I would keep an eye on Pascal Siakam there in Toronto, as a guy that may be available. There are a couple of guys. Paul George, I would say, could be available. I'm not sure what Houston's interest level in that kind of an acquisition would be, but I certainly think that the Clippers are not bringing this core back of Kawhi and PG next year. So that might be someone to, you know, just keep an eye on. You know, Karl-Anthony Towns, maybe, like in Minnesota. Like, there are guys that could be pried loose. But I think more realistically, the Rockets are probably going to have to waive Dacian Nix and maybe trade KJ Martin for a future first-round pick. I think that's probably the path you're looking at. And filling out the rest of the roster, I would look at guys in free agency like Fred VanVleet, like Dylan Brooks, and Brook Lopez. Those are the three names that have consistently been linked to the Rockets for like a month now. And Ime Udoka has been going around basically targeting Brook Lopez. Like, this is a guy he really, really wants. So I think those are the names to watch. It'd be interesting to see what kind of numbers they get, but those are the kinds of names that get signed in the first couple of days of free agency. So we may not have to wait long to get some of these answers.
Is if they were to bring in Brook Lopez, how do you feel that impacts Alpi?
How does that impact what?
Alpi Şengün.
There are a couple of different ways that it could go. I'd like to see the contract first and foremost, right? Like, If it's a long-term deal, I'm worried. If it's a 3-year deal with a player option or a team option, you know, I'm a little less concerned. With Alper and Şengün, I do believe they're going to give him more usage next year, regardless of what happens with Brook Lopez. It just I'm wondering how the fit's going to look. But he can shoot. Brook Lopez is a capable three-point shooter. And maybe you play Alperen Şengün at power forward for a season or two as he develops as a defender. And as Brook Lopez can kind of man the paint for that time being, and you can kind of develop him that way. I'm not going to pretend like it's not a worry. It's definitely something that I'm concerned about as someone who does believe in Alperen Şengün. But, I mean, if the Rockets believe that they can get some serious production out of Brook Lopez and they can get him for a value deal, I can see why they might want to do that, especially if they consider, you know, like some of the names you talked about trading for the Rockets, like that's going to require some serious salary. So where else are they going to get that salary other than trade? The only other significant contract they have on the roster is Kevin Porter Jr. And as of right now, it doesn't look like they're, if you're interested in trading him. So they're going to have to get some salary on the books. So guys like Brook Lopez, guys like Dylan Brooks, guys like Fred VanVleet, maybe the direction that they go in to get that kind of a salary that can be moved later on for a star.
Are you concerned about Dylan Brooks being the guy pretty much it wasn't really his play, it's his attitude and his mouth that pretty much got him getting him run out of Memphis?
No, I don't care about that kind of stuff. Like, I generally, this kind of stuff does not bother me. Like, trash talk, I think, is fair game. I didn't like how he tried to backtrack it though. Like that was kind of weird. Like if you're gonna trash talk, like own it, like stay behind it. But I have no problem with guys with that sort of edge. I think it's healthy. It's competition. I don't have any issue with it. What I'm more interested in is these contract lengths. The money that they're gonna give out, because I think Dylan Brooks is gonna demand somewhere above the non-taxpayer mid-level exception, which is about $10 million. So how far above are they going to go for that? Like $15 million a year? Like is that kind of the territory? Like that, because that's a pretty significant chunk of change. And I wonder if Houston's willing to give him that kind of money for a long-term deal.
All right, Solomon, let's put your GM hat on. If you have two impact moves to make, what are the two that you would like to make most?
I would say probably. So if you could, like if you had autonomy over the free agent market, James Harden, right? Like James Harden for, you know, a 2+1 kind of deal, right? Like that's the kind of, like, I just think he's the most efficient use of cap space that's available on the market. If you're not getting James Harden, I'd say go get Fred VanVleet. And go get, honestly, Dylan Brooks is not a bad target because I think he can be had for pretty cheap. If you can get guys like that on reasonable salaries, that's probably what I would describe as an optimal free agency. I don't think they should go out and get multiple guys because there's just not that much playing time for them. When I mean multiple, I mean like more than three. Like, I think they should probably try to stay under three free agent signings this summer. Because they have so many young guys that are just itching to get into the playing, get into the rotation. So it's going to be tough to balance all that. But that's what they hired Ime Udoka to do. You know, that's why he's getting paid the big bucks now. So we'll see how they try and, you know, maneuver all this young talent.
Solomon Ali, he is the founder of Red Nation Hoops, covering the Houston Rockets. You can follow him on Twitter at Solomon Ali NBA. Solomon, always appreciate your time, my friend. We will talk soon.
For sure. Thanks for having me on.
All right, Solomon Ali, Red Nation Hoops, with us on the HRNP guest line. We'll hear from Amen Thompson. We'll hear from Cam Whitmore. Hear from those guys coming up next.
Welcome back to the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here is your ambiguously gay host, Paul Gallant.
Wow, I'm so glad that doesn't fit me. Nothing ambiguous. I don't have... I always feel like, you know, the ambiguously gay duo. You know, Batman and Robin were the ambiguously gay duo. How are you the ambiguously gay solo? Like, who... Like, what are you... What are you playing that off of? Hi, I'm the ambiguously gay solo host, and this is my chair. I mean, like, how does that work?
It just plays into the A lot of the Twitch and text comments.
Paul likes to do his hair.
Dresses very nice.
He likes to dress fashionably.
Lives alone with a cat.
He's key on sock game.
Yeah.
Owns some nice shoes. Does live with a cat. I mean, but he's had that cat now for so long. I mean, we kind of like past the... I mean, I'll tell you what. My brother, who served in the Air Force, there's nothing ambiguous about my brother. My brother is pretty conservative. He is a cat. You know why? Because the obscene prices for apartments in New York, and I mean obscene prices for apartments in New York, he's like, A, I don't have enough room for a dog, and B, I work too many hours. I don't have time to walk the dog. So he wanted a companion. He got a cat. He named it Spartacus. And you know what the cat does? Absolutely nothing. It sits on the bed. It sits on the floor. It does its thing in the litter box. It goes back to sitting on the bed or sitting on the floor or sitting in the window. The cat does three things. Bed, floor, window. That's it. You know, my aunt had a cat named Psycho. And Psycho used to sit on the recliner as you walked in the door. And if you didn't go directly to the cat to pet the cat would slap you upside the back of the head. Which I thought was pretty damn cool.
I like that. You got to check in.
Yeah.
You
know? It's like, hello, I'm
kiss
here.
Kiss the ring. Yeah.
If you don't come and see me first, I'll whack you. Also, that cat was huge. The cat was like 27 pounds. But it wasn't just like a fat blob. It was just a giant cat. My mom used to have a Westie, and the cat was bigger than the dog. It was a huge cat. It was an attack cat, so it was named Psycho. All right, let's hear from Cam Whitmore. This is Cam Whitmore after he had been drafted on ESPN TV with Monta McNutt right after being drafted.
Cam, a dream realized. You talked to me a little bit about 4 years ago when you broke your leg and you had to battle through that adversity. Tonight, you realize a dream. How are you feeling in the moment?
I mean, I'm excited, grateful to be here. I mean, I'm blessed. I've been in one of the NBA for a lot of years since I was born. So, blessed to be here.
Mom, Colleen, Dad, Myron, none of these athletes are able to do this without a tremendous support system. How have you watched your son grow and work toward this moment?
He's been a hard worker, determined, just always had this goal, and he's never given up no matter what adversity that he's gone through.
Well, I can tell you that, he's had this dream since he was in fifth grade, right? And so we've been supporting him 150%, attending all of his games, taking all of his practices, and so we've been behind him 100%.
Tonight, the support all pays off. You guys enjoy the night, Cam. Congratulations.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
I mean, I think it was pretty cool they had the parents up there because so many times we read and see about athletes and the home situation wasn't good. It was good to see so many of them had their parents with them, and it looked like there were some – there was a lot of positive role model there. That's important for the success of any young kid. I also think it's interesting that while Cam Whitmore is 18, he looks and sounds like he's 26. Like, I don't know a whole lot of 18-year-olds who look like that. Yeah, my son graduated high school a year ago. My daughter's still in high school. I see a lot of high school kids. None of them look like that. And I don't mean being 6'7". I mean the fact that he's 235 pounds and looks like he's been, in the weight room since he's 6. But I don't think it's a bad thing. Just, it's an uncommon thing. Here's more from Cam Whitmore talking about how it felt for him to be falling in the draft and how that can be a motivational factor.
Like, motivates me to like 150% I don't even know, but it's just something where I just gotta rethink, I mean, going the next day, new mind, free mind, coming in that organization, I mean, with a chip on my shoulder, I have a lot of motivation on my mind, but at the end of the day, it doesn't really faze me. I mean, I know I'm different than everybody else, but it's just, you know, another chapter in my life, another journey, just time to get to work.
So, Cam Whitmore, he said, you know, the guy's going to have a chip on his shoulder the size of Texas because he's a guy who was projected to go really high, slid all the way to 20. He's going to be on a team where he's going to have the opportunity to showcase and play, and he's going to get minutes. So hopefully all these things we heard, you know, Adrian Wojnarowski say, well, he didn't necessarily interview with some teams, and he might have not worked out well with another team. Right, and he says that right before he says, well, I saw his workout with WME, and the guy was phenomenal, and everybody loved him. So, you know, Adrian Wojnarowski, who definitely has a face you want to punch, talking out of both sides of his face. Not a surprise. Here's some from Amon Thompson. Here's the man talking about how he sees himself fitting alongside with Jalen Green.
I just see two very athletic guards who could push the tempo, push the pace, both ball handles. So, you know, I like to be on a team with as many people who can make plays for others as possible, and I think that's what we got.
You know, I think it's pretty cool that he's, you know, already talking about, hey, you know what, I'm looking forward to playing with Jalen Green, looking forward to getting in with these guys. He said he's ready to celebrate, but people in Texas might not necessarily be so happy about this.
Oh, no, we need to fly some In-N-Out out here.
In-N-Out burger, like fast food?
I need some In-N-Out. Just fly it out to New York for a day, and be good.
Now, listen. Before you kill the kid, you got to keep in mind, he's from California. There are no Whataburgers in California. There are no Whataburgers in Oregon. There are no Whataburgers in Washington. There are no Whataburgers in Utah. There are no Whataburgers in Idaho or Montana. In fact, the nearest Whataburger to him may be New Mexico or Arizona. Arizona has 12. Okay, the states where Whataburger is in, we talked about this during the break. Here's where Whataburger is. Alabama, there's 13. Arkansas has 4. Arizona has 12. Colorado has 1. There should definitely be more, especially where there's dispensaries. There should be Whataburgers. Florida has 18. Georgia has 1. Louisiana has 7. There's definitely some political shenanigans going on there.
Yeah,
Louisiana,
yeah, Raising Cane's is physically blocking any more Whataburger.
They need to have a Cajun crawfish burger come out.
Mm-hmm.
Missouri has 1. Mississippi has 8. New Mexico has 4. Oklahoma has 18. Tennessee has 1. And the great state of Texas has 284.
Woo!
So the kid basically doesn't know what a Whataburger is. And let's not like pretend like In-N-Out sucks, because it doesn't. All right, I'm not saying that In-N-Out is better than Whataburger or that Whataburger is better than In-N-Out. Because to me, if you said to me, do you want Whataburger or do you want In-N-Out? I will say you said and wrong. So let's cut the kid a little slack. He wants it now because that's what he knows. We do have some down here. In fact, there's one right by me and Katie, right off I-10. I'm sure there are a few others around. I think there's one in Stafford. There's a few. They're around. He'll be able to get some here. But we'll also introduce him to the greatness and goodness that is Whataburger. And somebody tell him Whataburger, not Whataburger. Because you say Whataburger, he's not going to know what the hell you're talking about. Just like I didn't know what the hell people were talking about. Hey, have you been to Whataburger? Water what? Oh, you're from New York. What a burger. No, what's a Whataburger? You don't know what Whataburger is? Clearly. This is a real conversation. Real conversations. But young man is going to be having a lot. When you get here and you realize, wow, there's more than, like, when I came down here from New York, we had 6 fast food options. I came down here, and there were, like, 36 different options. And I also found that there's Whataburger, and there's Frenchie's, and there's Taco Cabana. Like, there's lots of good stuff that I didn't ever know existed down here. So he'll learn. He'll learn. One more segment to go, Paul Gallant Show, ESPN 97.5.
Back to the Veritex Community Bank Studios at your favorite 10 to noon sports talk host, Paul Gallant. Help behave, Paul. Give him hell.
Well, I hope that I can be your second favorite 10 to noon host behind Paul Gallant. Patrick Creighton in for Paulie G. As we get ready for the weekend, Killer Bee is in a wheelhouse out at Pleasure Pier in Galveston today. So if it's a Friday and you decide, hey, you know what, I really don't feel like working for the full day, I'm going to ditch early, head on down to Galveston, hang out with the guys, and have some fun. Get down to Pleasure Pier, do some cool stuff. I'm planning on getting down to Galveston tomorrow because some of us still have to work later. In fact, yes, I will be back here. So my plan today is I am going to go home. I'm going to eat lunch. I'm going to make dinner, have dinner with my children, then come back. And we're going to have late hits 7 o'clock tonight as you go into the weekend. Sean, is there a bullpen this weekend?
There is a bullpen Sunday at 10 to noon.
Sunday,
super easy. Same time as this show. 10 to noon on Sunday, Saturday, 12 to 2.
So who's on the bullpen this week?
So it's going to be, I think it's a normal rotation for us. So Saturday will be Joe and Andrew, and Sunday will be the cool kids, B-Mac, RJ, and myself.
So everybody should listen to Sunday from 10 to noon.
Yes, and okay. Josh on the ones and twos.
Oh, all right. All right. That's sounds like a good time. Get down there and move it through. Now, we had a couple of interviews today that both went a little bit long. So we got a couple of extra things here. Let's have some garbage time.
I'm only happy when
it's garbage. And then I start eating garbage.
If there's one guy up here who knows about total garbage,
garbage.
It's this guy. It's garbage time with Paul Gallant. Let's go.
Let's go.
Now, everybody's known Victor Wembanyama was going to be the number one overall pick, going to San Antonio in the most rigged NBA draft since 1984. But people in San Antonio deserve better than this hokey, lame, stupid, hick-style nonsense that just screams Loserville. Here's Marty Smith.
San Antonio, and I can officially say, my friends, San Antonio is now Wimbantonio.
Now, I don't know if that would ever happen in the great city of Houston. I would like to think it wouldn't. But that was some lame-ass bleep.
It's also pretty obvious that ESPN was like, which one of our reporters has the biggest accent? All right, send him to San Antonio.
Which one of our reporters has the least, like, self-worth?
That too.
Which one of our reporters hates himself the most? In a little, like, barber thing. Where it's like, it didn't even look like Wembanyama.
Yeah. Which is also, like, just some actual San Antonio Spurs fan did that after the lottery. And yeah, Marty Smith comes in and just swagger jacks him with the worst version.
That was so freaking lame. They have put so much hype and attention on Wembanyama. That kid literally better be the next version of Magic Johnson and Kareem combined, because they are hyping this kid up like he is a literal basketball god. And if he doesn't live up to that, he's just going to get slaughtered, and unfairly so. Let's remember, these are kids.
Yeah, he's like just turned 19 or something.
These are kids that unrealistic expectations are just being piled on like crazy. Sean, how do you feel about watching two mega billionaires beat the snot out of each other?
100% in.
So according to Dana White, Elon Musk, owner of Twitter, Mark Zuckerberg, owner of Facebook, they're going to Mills Lane, get it on. In the octagon. Supposedly it started with a comment from Elon on the Twitter. And then Zuckerberg responded on the gram. Then Zuckerberg called up Dana White and said, is he serious about this? Dana said, I don't know. Let me find out. So he called up Elon Musk. And isn't it great to be Dana White?
Yeah.
That you got Mark Zuckerberg and Elon Musk on speed dial?
That too, yeah.
So he calls up and says, yeah, let's do it. Elon Musk versus Mark Zuckerberg. This better be a five-rounder. I don't think they can. I don't think either one of them could go five rounds, but I want to be a five rounder. And I think Dana is right when he says this would just bring in buku bucks, because who doesn't want to watch two super rich celebrities smash each other in the face?
It's like the logical end to the celebrity boxing is to like, all right, now the richest people in the world are going to fight each other.
Billionaire cage fighting. Loser loses all his billions.
That's what they should do. They should do, like not only is all the pay-per-view money for charity, like, the loser has to give, like, $5 billion to charity.
Maybe, like, you know, when, well, I don't know, I don't want to say about Sean, but when you were kids and you'd race for pinks, yeah. Race for pink slips, loser loses the car.
I've heard about that. I've seen Fast and Furious, yes.
All right, loser loses his social media platforms.
Oh, there we go.
Now there we got it. Loser loses his platforms to the other guy. That would get, I think, every single person in the country to watch. It's going to do it for us for today. Appreciate Sean Mapes on the other side of the glass. Evan Drellick of the Athletics, Dominant League, Red Nation Hoops. Killer Bees, Joe Blank, Jeremy Branham. Do we throw Joe in there? Joe George! Yeah, they're coming up next.